Well, first in studio, I have the great pleasure indeed of welcoming Sally O'Reilly. And as we know, Sally is a psychotherapist and psychologist and an expert in all things to do with human psychology and is a great advisor in this show. So you're very welcome to the show, Sally.
Thanks, Rosario. Nice to see you again.
It's great to have you back. And so tonight, Sally, tell us what we plan to talk about.
Well, this, as I was saying to you earlier, is day three of the 16 days of activism for the elimination of violence against women. So even though we touched on it last week a little bit when I was, or was it 2 weeks ago, when I was talking about not saying, I think you should leave.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how this started,
yes.
In my brain at least. So you mentioned that there were a couple of things you might like to talk about more in depth sometime. And I thought now is a good time, seeing as this is the awareness campaign in which we find ourselves.
Excellent. And obviously, if we can raise awareness about the prevalence of violence towards women, then all the better. Mm-hmm. I know in France and Spain, they're taking serious, dramatic legal action at the moment to cut down on the number of femicides. Because I think in France already this year, 139 women were killed by their partners, mm-hmm. or husbands or partners or ex-partners last year alone. So they're really clamping down and training the police and training the legal system and how to approach it. Because to include psychological violence. But anyway, that's going off the point. Sally, you're the expert. Go ahead. And what are the things that people should watch out for or within a relationship that might make it toxic?
I think first to say you didn't go off the point there at all. I think that is the exact point of this, is that okay. The more awareness campaigns we have, the more things like what you just said are happening, which is
good
really
news.
Good news. Mm. We grossly underestimate the prevalence of violence because there is so much secrecy around abuse, and abuse cannot survive without secrecy and shame. And there is a lot of secrecy and shame around violence of all kinds. As you mentioned, psychological violence is one of them.
Mm.
So perhaps you asked there about the signs, and I think that there are many signs, but they're not perhaps obvious. And what's awful about this is that a lot of the signs only become obvious in hindsight.
Okay.
Or when it feels like it's too late, when you feel you're in this and you're stuck and you can't get out, or it feels unsafe to get out.
Okay.
But what you might notice, and I have spoken, as you can imagine, with a horrendously large amount of women who've been psychologically and physically abused, is that there is very often at the very beginning a niggle where they have a feeling that something is off in
okay.
this relationship. So the things that might give you that feeling are things like you feel criticized often by your partner.
Okay.
Or you feel blackmailed. And by that I mean, the partner might say things, well, you can go out if you want, but like, how do you think that's going to make me feel? Or you're going out all the time, and who do you talk to when you go out? Mm. You feel like you have to be
justify.
Careful how you behave, justify mm. your behavior. Mm-hmm. Great word. I think as soon as you feel that you're justifying your behavior to your partner, you are possibly already in trouble in that relationship.
Okay, so you should be seeing alarm bells, red
yeah.
bells. What is it?
Red flags.
Red flags or alarm bells going off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like there are a lot of red flags. So I'll just maybe go through a couple of them. Some are more obvious than others. The obvious shouting at you is obvious.
Okay.
But again, this might start slowly, where there might be the odd raised voice mm-hmm. at the beginning, because you can tolerate that. And of course, the partner who is abusive will always be testing your tolerance.
Mm.
So if you put up with a slight raised voice, then maybe you'll put up with a slightly louder one the next time.
Mm.
And maybe eventually you'll put up with being shouted at. Mm. And it always happens like that. It's a gradual
okay.
thing. Because imagine if you're in a relationship where someone suddenly starts shouting at you and criticizing you or mocking you mm. overtly, you're going to be out of there.
Yeah.
So it has to be gradual for it to work for the abuser.
Mm.
And that's what makes them so skilled.
Mm.
So shouting and criticizing, mocking you. Another thing is mocking you to your face when it's just the two of you, but also the subtle digs in public.
Mm.
Like, they might say something like, sure, you know her now. She's always, a bit of a need, you know, when it comes to these things. And people might laugh and think, oh, he's a gas man and Ashford is very funny. But all the time, your own sense of confidence and self-esteem is being nicked away at, you know, little tiny little blade, tiny little cuts. So then
undermined, feeling undermined.
Another great word. Yeah.
Undermining your confidence and your self-esteem.
Yeah. Mm. And then just flashing back to what we were talking about the last time, you have things like gaslighting and...
Oh, remind our listeners. Sorry, remind our listeners about gaslighting because I keep forgetting what the concept means.
Okay, so gaslighting is when you are really being made feel like you're crazy.
Okay.
That you're imagining it.
Okay.
So that when you confront your partner with behaviour like, you know, you are always, you know, manipulating me, or I feel like you're always raising your voice, or you're trying to make me responsible for your feelings, the partner might respond with, well, come on now. Do you really think that I would do that? Like, who could do that? Like, no one has that kind of power to do that. You have some sort of paranoia issue here. You need therapy.
Mm.
That kind of thing.
Okay.
So
deflecting back on the woman.
Yeah.
That she's the problem, not him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, you said woman there. I am aware this goes both ways.
Both ways,
but
yeah.
Given that this is... the 16 days and the focus is on women, so I am going to keep using those words.
Okay.
So,
but they're interchangeable.
Meant out there, yeah.
If there's any man listening who might feel abused by their partner, they can...
The same red flags apply.
Yes.
So then there are, again, the obvious things. Now, physical violence rarely emerges in a sudden way. Sometimes it does.
Okay.
But usually it's a gradual thing again. So it would be a gradual, like maybe giving you a little squeeze that's too hard on your arms, or maybe it's a push, or maybe it might be tugging at your hair, which might turn into pulling at your hair, or, you know, a slap will eventually turn into a punch. And then there's sexual violence as well, of course, within relationships, which is even harder for women to talk about.
Mm.
So there are other things that can happen quite a lot, which is where if there's a pet in the house, that it might be, you know, the woman's pet, the woman's cat or the woman's dog, where that pet is targeted by way of threatening.
Okay.
So by way of upsetting. First to inflict that cruelty and make you witness it.
Okay.
But also to say, you know, this is what I can do.
Okay.
And this is what I'll do to you if you don't do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Without having to say the words.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have other things like withholding. So withholding things like money, withholding affection by way of punishing you. Or threatening you again.
Mm. Passive aggression. Is it that kind of passive aggression?
Passive
activity?
Aggression, yeah. So passive aggression is another behavior. One where you know that you're being given out to or threatened, but it's difficult to prove it because the words that have just been used don't sound aggressive.
Mm.
So passive aggression might be something like...
Tension
in the house. You might say, I'm going out tonight. Mm. And the passive aggressor might say... Oh, fine. Go ahead then.
Mm-hmm. I'll be asleep when you come back.
And it's the tone.
Mm.
And you know, I'm not supposed to go out tonight.
Mm.
So, because you see, if you go out and tell your friends, he could say, well, I said, okay, that's fine.
And yeah.
The tone will change. And he sounds like a marvellous fella who wants you to have fun.
Mm.
So, and that is the purpose of being passive, that it's difficult to...
Pin down. It sounds innocuous, but in fact, it's quite poisonous or toxic.
And that's a very common thing, you know. And I know, you know, I'm really aware of how common this is. This might be ringing a lot of bells with people that are listening, and it can be very upsetting to hear it in black and white terms like that. And I'm aware I'm kind of listing it off, like it's that this might be hard to hear. But also, I want whoever is listening to know. That the reason I can list these off is because it's that common and there are people who do understand it and who will be able to help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that well known, you know, that your partner's behaviour, if he does this, this is a thing, you know, and this is abuse. So that if you're experiencing, you know, withholding of money or affection, or your friends are being insulted, or you're being isolated from your friends or blackmailed to stay away from them mm-hmm. or from your family.
There's a lot of that. I would have read a lot about it, that social isolation.
Yeah.
Where they're slowly and surely cut off from their family and their family aren't welcome to come over and whatnot.
And it's all terrible, but that's a particular one that really gets to me, because what can happen is that behaviour is misunderstood by said friends and said family. And they might go, geez, what's wrong with your one? You know, she's dumped us, or she's cranky and it can look like that. But in fact, it might be this whole other thing is going on that you're completely unaware of, because you have been charmed by the abusive partner.
Mm-hmm.
And abusive men are often incredibly charming.
Mm-hmm.
So that you might have a partner and you feel terrified to point this out to your friends or your family, because they all love him.
Yeah.
And they mightn't believe you.
And plus, in some ways, there's a loyalty factor there, I'd imagine, where they don't want your partner to look bad in their eyes.
Yes, because
you know, there's also that, because...
And then your choice looks bad. So you might feel like they're going to think I'm a right idiot now for staying with this guy. Going back to what we were saying the last time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that people do feel shame and they do feel stupid for being in an abusive relationships. But the thing is, you're not stupid. It's nothing to do with intelligence. It has to do with the skill of the manipulator that you're with.
I think also, Sally, it's not just the fear of staying in a relationship, it's a fear of leaving it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the unknown, and if they broke off the relationship, what would happen? Would they be isolated? Would they be poor? Would they be alone? Would they, you know, it's a fear of not being in, even if, you know, sometimes the comfort, albeit of an abusive relationship, might appear better.
You're right.
Than the alternative, which is an unknown.
It is. You're right.
And the fear is like, must be like looking over a cliff thinking, am I really going to jump off this cliff? You know?
It is, because you have been trained to think that you cannot climb, or you cannot fly, or that
you can't survive without the person.
Yeah. And that's the message that you might have been hearing for 20, 30, 40 years, you know, you might have been told, no one else is going to even look at you. I mean, look at you, you're a mess. Like, you know, you've no friends, you can't do anything. Like, these are the things that people hear.
Mm.
And when you hear something like that often enough, you genuinely start believing it. So you're thinking, I can't do this by myself. I can't, you know, manage my finances, because all of this has been controlled in the guise of help. So I'll help you with this. I'll assist you with, you know, blah, blah, blah. But all the time, it's not about supporting. It's about controlling.
Mm.
And when we're controlled to that degree, we end up feeling helpless.
Gosh. Now, Sally, if there's anybody listening to this who might need assistance or realise that they are caught in this kind of a trap or this, you know, hamster wheel situation, where can they go for help, or who should they contact, or what can they do?
Women's Aid is the go-to place.
Okay.
Just Women's Aid. You can go, you can see them on Twitter, Facebook, you can see them online. And if you're concerned about a friend of yours and you want to maybe learn more about this, now absolutely is the time. If you go on Twitter and you even just look up the hashtag 16 days, this will lead you to a wealth of information and articles where people are writing about this stuff and how to recognise it and what to do about it. And
Sally, have you written about it before we wrap up? Have you written about it? And if so, what's your website so that people can get in touch with you if they want to follow up?
I have. Actually, I have. SallyO'Reilly.com is my site. Last night I posted a piece that I wrote, and I'll be doing it over the next few days. During the course of this campaign on Facebook and on my own site, I'll be publishing articles on it, as will so many others.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for that, Sally. I hope it'll be of use to somebody listening in, or indeed somebody listening in who might know of somebody else in this situation, that the go-to place is either Women's Aid, or indeed look up Sally's site, SallyO'Reilly.com, for more information. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Sally, for coming in
You're
again
welcome.
This evening, and we'll be back again next week.